Turn with me, if you would, now to 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel 16. I would like to show you another beautiful picture from 1 Samuel tonight. A few weeks ago, we looked at 1 Samuel 30, where Ziklag, the city that David and his men were living in, that city was burned with fire, and their families were taken captive, and David went to get them back. And David recovered all. That was a beautiful picture. And then we looked at 2 Samuel 23, where the three mightiest of David's mighty men broke through the Philistine army to get one cup of water from the well of Bethlehem, because that's what David was thirsting for in his last days. Beautiful picture that story was. And then we came back to 1 Samuel 16 and saw the beginning of the life of David, where God chose him and anointed him to be the king of Israel. It would be a while before David was made king, but God acknowledged him to be the one. Now, as I was reading through these chapters, reading where we were, reading ahead, just reading, as I was reading through these chapters, some things caught my attention and they really intrigued me. There were just some things that I took note of and were puzzled by. And I kept reading and I kept reading, starting here in chapter 16. And by the time I got to chapter 24, I was amazed. I was just so just delighted at what I read. I got to chapter 24 and I just said, amen. Amen. I want to show you this picture tonight. What I saw was such a perfect picture of our salvation and the Lord's dealings with us. When I read that, that's me. That's me, and that's my Lord's dealings with me. And I want to show you this picture. I want to do it like we did it before, where I show you the story, and then I'll show you the picture in the story. Now, let me start by showing you something here that caught my attention. All right, it's going to take me just a minute to show it all to you, a couple of bits and pieces here. After the Lord told Samuel right here to anoint David as his king, 1 Samuel 16, verse 13, this is the last verse we read when we were here. It says, "Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah." As soon as Samuel anointed him, as soon as the Spirit of the Lord came upon David, verse 14 says, the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. From that day forward, it came upon David and it departed from Saul. And it goes on to say, an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. You see that? An evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Spirit of the Lord, from the Lord, troubled him. Verse 15 says, "And Saul's servants said unto him, Behold now, an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants which are before thee to seek out a man who is a cunning player on an harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto his servants, Provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him." Now, this is the Lord's dealings. Saul doesn't know anything about Jesse and his boys. Samuel goes to his house and anoints David. And the Spirit of the Lord is on David and is removed from Saul. And an evil spirit comes. And Saul's servants say, "We can see that you're troubled. Why don't we find you a man who can play a harp?" And he said, "Well, bring me one." And somebody said, "Well, I saw a boy sitting on a hill watching sheep. He's a good player." The dealings of the Lord are so perfect. All right, verse 19. "Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, 'Send me David, thy son, which is with the sheep.' And Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid and sent them by David, his son, unto Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, 'Let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight.' And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him." All right, now, this is what puzzled me. This is what grabbed my attention. Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, "Send David, your son." Saul sent messengers to Jesse. Jesse the Bethlehemite has a son. Okay, send David, your son. Jesse did. David became Saul's armor bearer. Verse 22 says, "Saul sent to Jesse, saying, 'Let David stay with me, for he's found favor in my sight. I want him to stay with me.' Saul said, 'Jesse, your son is special to me. And I want him to be with me where I am. I want him to be right here. He's a comfort to me. I want him to be right here." Okay, now, chapter 17 is the story of David and Goliath. And we're not going to look at the story of David and Goliath tonight. I read that for our scripture reading last Wednesday night. But we know the story, okay? Goliath was taunting Israel. David went out alone against him. God gave David the victory. Okay? Look at chapter 17, verse 55. "And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine," against Goliath, "he said unto Abner, the captain of the host, 'Abner, whose son is this youth?' And Abner said, 'As thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell.' And the king said, 'Inquire thou whose son the stripling is.' And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, 'Whose son art thou, thou young man?' And David answered, 'I'm the son of thy servant Jesse the Bethlehemite.'" Saul didn't know who he was. I thought, well, maybe he played kind of in the back corner and he didn't see him, or maybe he didn't know who's. So I went back to 16 and read it. Saul sent to Jesse, "Send your son David to me. He's my armor bearer. He comforts me. I want him to stay with him." And now he's saying, who are you? Who is that? Who are you? Isn't that strange? Isn't that intriguing? All right, I'm going to remind you of that in a minute. When we get to the picture, this is the story. When we get to the picture, I'll remind you of that in a minute. In chapter 18, it says that Saul wouldn't let David go home anymore. If you look at chapter 18, verse 2, it says, "Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house." He wanted David to be a right-hand man to him. But immediately, I mean immediately, Saul became jealous of David. Look at verse 5. "And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass, as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul hath slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day in forward. He became jealous. And Saul got it in his mind that he was going to have David killed. He was saying, what does he want, the kingdom? So he thought the best way to have him killed was to put him in battle. He made David captain over 1,000 men, and he sent David out into battle after battle after battle, front line of battle after battle, and David kept winning. He'd send him out into another battle, David would win again. Saul tried to deceive David into thinking that he loved David. He was trying to, you know, in Saul's mind, keep his enemies close. So he tried to make him think he was for him and he loved him. And he offered David his daughter to be David's wife. Her name was Michal. Saul said, David, if you'll slay 100 Philistines, I'll give you my daughter to be your wife. So David went out and slayed 200 Philistines. Chapter 18, verse 28. That was verse 27. It said, David arose and went, he and his men, and slew 200 men, 200 Philistines. Verse 28 says, and Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. And Saul was yet the more afraid of David, and Saul became David's enemy continually. Then the princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass, after they went forth, that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by. That means very precious. David's name became very precious. Chapter 19, verse 1. And Saul spake to Jonathan, his son, and to all his servants, that they should kill David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeketh to kill thee. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take heed to thyself until the morning, and abide in a secret place, and hide thyself. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where thou art, and I will commune with my father of thee, and what I see, that will I tell thee. And Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul his father, and said unto him, let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he hath not sinned against thee, and because his works have been to thee were very good. For he did put his life in his hand, and slew the Philistine, and the Lord wrought a great salvation for all Israel. Thou sawest it, and didst rejoice. Wherefore then wilt thou sin against innocent blood to slay David without a cause? He was saying, I find no fault in this man. None whatsoever. Why do you want to kill him? Please don't. That's what Jonathan is saying. Please don't. Saul told Jonathan right here that he wouldn't. Saul said, okay, you're right, I'm not going to. And Jonathan went on his way, hearing that from his father. He thought that was his decision. But look at verse 9, chapter 19, verse 9. And the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul, and he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand, and David played with his hand. And Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with the javelin. But he slipped away out of Saul's presence, and he smote the javelin into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night. Saul threw a javelin at him. He was sitting there, David's playing, and he's just looking at him, and he threw a javelin, and David dodged it, and it stuck into the wall, and David ran out. Verse 11. Saul also sent messengers unto David's house to watch him and to slay him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, if thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain. Saul sent men to David's house to kill him, but Michal helped him escape. Chapter 20, verse 1. And David fled from Naoth in Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, what have I done? What is mine iniquity? And what is my sin before thy father that he seeketh my life? What have I done? Jonathan said to him right here, he said, I don't believe my father means to kill you. He told me he was not going to kill you. But he said, I'll make sure. I'll make sure. They agreed. There was a feast the next day and David was supposed to be at it. And they agreed that David would not come. And that Jonathan would tell his father that he gave David leave to go home to Bethlehem to sacrifice with his family. And he said, when I tell my father that I have given you leave and you're not here, we'll see what his reaction is. If he's fine with it, but if it angers him, you know, we'll know. When Jonathan told Saul that he gave David leave and David wasn't there, Saul was so mad, he threw a javelin at Jonathan, his own son. When Jonathan told him that, he picked up a javelin and threw it at his own son. And at that moment, Jonathan knew. He told David, you better run and don't ever come back. So David did. He left. He fled. Chapter 21 tells us that everywhere David went, he was recognized. Everywhere he went, he was recognized. And word kept getting back to Saul, telling Saul where David was. Chapter 21, verse 10 says, and David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said unto him, is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul hath slain his thousands and David his 10,000s? That's David. David came up and everybody knew that's David. Chapter 22, verse 1. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. We know who David represents, don't we? Everybody who was in distress, everybody who was in debt, came to David. David became a captain over them. Chapter 23. Verse 7. And it was told Saul that David was come to Keilah. And Saul said, God hath delivered him into mine hand, for he is shut in by entering into a town that hath gates and bars. And Saul called all the people together to war to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. And David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him. And he said to Abiathar the priest, bring hither the ephod. Then said David, O Lord God of Israel, thy servant hath certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me up into his hand? Will Saul come down as thy servant hath heard? O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. Then said David, will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will deliver thee up. He will come down. They will deliver thee up. And they did. They told Saul, we know where he is. Chapter 24, verse 1. And it came to pass, when Saul was returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, behold, David is in the wilderness of Engedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheepcotes by the way, where was a cave, and Saul went in to cover his feet. Saul went into this cave to sleep, to lay down for a minute. And David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. David and his men were already in that cave, hiding in that cave. And Saul came in and went to sleep. Verse 4. And the men of David said unto him, behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privately. All the men said, David, the Lord has delivered him into your hands as he said he would. There he is, take him. So David went over and he cut off the bottom of his robe. Verse 5. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him, because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed. He said, this is God's king that God has placed in authority for this moment in time. He said, God, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So David stayed his servants with these words and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. David also arose afterward and went out of the cave. Saul woke up, walked out, and David walked out behind him. And David cried after Saul, saying, my Lord the king. And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself. And David said to Saul, wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, behold, David seeketh thy hurt. Please don't listen to men saying that I seek your hurt. Verse 10, behold, this day thine eyes have seen how the Lord had delivered thee today into mine hand in a cave, and some bade me kill thee. But mine eye spared thee. And I said, I will not put forth mine hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see, yea, see the skirt of thy robe in mine hand, for in that I cut off the skirt of thy robe and killed thee not. I went right up to you and cut the skirt off of your robe, and I did not kill you. Know thou and see that there is neither evil nor transgression in mine hand, and I have not sinned against thee. Yet thou huntest my soul to take it. The Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee. But mine hand shall not be upon thee. As saith the proverb of the ancients, wickedness proceedeth from the wicked, but mine hand shall not be upon thee. After whom is the king of Israel come out? After whom dost thou pursue? After a dead dog? After a flea? He's calling himself that. What he's saying is, I am a worm and not a man. That's Psalm 22. Verse 15. The Lord, therefore, be judge, and judge between me and thee, and see and plead my cause and deliver me out of thy hand. Verse 16 says, and it came to pass when David had made an end of speaking these words unto Saul, that Saul said, is this thy voice, my son David? And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. It broke him. After David said what he said, it broke him. It utterly broke him. Now, this was not a true spiritual conversion. The next chapters reveal that to us. But this is a picture of a true spiritual conversion. What we're about to read represents the result of a wicked sinner seeing how his life has been spared and who it is that spared it. We're about to read the result of a sinner having his eyes open to this, this being revealed to him. I'm almost done, but let me catch up the picture with the story. And then we'll finish reading the story and the picture together, okay? David represents Christ. And Saul represents God's sinful people. Saul represents me and you in our natural wicked condition before God. Tonight's message began with an evil spirit troubling Saul. And is that not man by nature? David was the one who comforted him. Saul had no idea who he was. And for a child of God who is a wretched sinner in his nature, our Lord Jesus Christ has been with us, and He has helped us, and He has comforted us, and He has led us since before we ever even knew who He was, all the days of our life. No idea. Something would happen, He'd be right there with us. He'd strengthen us, and He'd pick us back up. No idea who God is. Just like Gomer. You know the story of Gomer? Hosea took perfect care of her. She had no idea it was him. Our story tonight then told us of this great victory that David won for all of God's people, Israel, in the story of Goliath. He brought liberty to them. He defeated their enemy. He did it alone. By himself, he defeated all of God's people, all of their enemy, which was sin. He defeated it alone. Saul had no idea who he was. For God's people, their war was over. Their battle with sin, it was fought on the cross of Calvary, and it was won. It was finished by God's anointed king, the Son of David, Christ Jesus the Lord. Over, done, finished, before they ever even knew who he was. No idea who he was. Even the saints in the Old Testament, he was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Chapter 18 told us that Saul became angry and jealous over David, saying, what does he want? The kingdom? All of us, in our natural flesh, in our wickedness, all of us have said, I will not have that man reign over me. I'll reign over him, but he's not going to reign over me. That's called being at enmity against him. That's what it's called, being his enemy. For the remainder of the story, Saul trying to kill David represents us by wicked hands trying with all of our might to crucify and slay the Lord of glory. The one who knew no sin. What has he done? No spot, no blemish. I find no fault in him. That's the one that all of God's people cried, crucify. Crucify. That's where God's people are when He reveals Himself to them. That's where they are. That's the hard, hateful wickedness of the flesh that He finds them in. When He reveals to them who He really is and whose life is in whose hands. Saul thought David was in his hands. David just found out. No, Saul just found out, I'm in his hands. And all of God's people find out in that moment that even though they were spared, they shouldn't have been. They didn't deserve to be spared. But in His goodness, this is what broke him. You know what will break a child of God? You know what will lead a child of God to repentance? The goodness of the Lord. It was His goodness. It was His goodness. In His goodness, He loved us even though we were enemies. He humbled Himself. He bowed Himself down. He delivered Himself for us to make peace. Peace. With us, for us. When that kindness and when that goodness reaches the heart of one of God's own, and that's what happens, it reaches the heart. When that happens, I'm telling you, it slays a sinner. It breaks the sinner. That goodness leads them to repentance. A changed mind about this whole thing. That's what repentance is. And this is what all of God's people cry. This is what they acknowledge before God concerning Christ and concerning themselves. See if this doesn't bless your heart. Verse 16. And it came to pass when David had made an end of speaking these words unto Saul, that Saul said, is this thy voice, my son David? He heard his voice. And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. And he said to David, thou art more righteous than I. You are more righteous than I am. You're the righteous one. I'm not. He said, thou art more righteous than I, for thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded thee evil. All I've ever given you is evil, and all you've ever given me is good. Grace. It's only been grace from you. Verse 18, and thou hast showed this day how that thou hast dealt well with me, for as much as when the Lord had delivered me into thine hand, you didn't kill me. For if a man find his enemy, will he let him go well away? Wherefore the Lord reward thee good for that thou hast done unto me this day. He said, may all the glory be unto you. Because for my great sin, you've rewarded me with nothing but grace, grace, kindness. Verse 20. And now behold, I know well that thou shalt surely be king. Isn't it amazing that Saul said this? He said, I know you're the king. I'm not, you are. Verse 20, now behold, I know well that thou shalt surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in thine hand. You're the one who reigns. You're the sovereign. You're the one seated on the throne. Verse 21. Now watch this. He said, swear now, therefore, unto me by the Lord that thou wilt not cut off my seed after me and that thou wilt not destroy my name out of my father's house. Oh, he said, I'm begging for mercy from you. Please make a covenant concerning me. That's what he said. please remember me and remember my house. From the moment that the sovereign reveals himself, God's people are covenant mercy beggars. From the very moment that he reveals himself, God's people are covenant mercy beggars from that day forward. And all who ask for mercy in that covenant receive it. All who ask. We know well, think about this. We know well about David's covenant with Jonathan. All right? Well, David also made a covenant with Saul. He made a covenant with Saul. And there's a covenant for every single one of God's people. Every sinner who needs a covenant gets a covenant from the king. Verse 21, he said, "Swear now therefore unto me by the Lord that thou wilt not cut off my seed after me, and that thou wilt not destroy my name out of my father's house." And David swore unto Saul. In the story of Mephibosheth, which we just heard last Wednesday night, okay? David said, in that story, David said, "Is there any left of the house of Saul that I may show kindness to him?" David made a covenant with Saul. And he kept his covenant. He kept his covenant. And to all of God's people, because Christ could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. And he said, "I promise you. You sure don't deserve it. You're certainly unworthy of it. But you have my word. Because of my humility, because of my mercy, because of my grace, because I gave blood when you gave sin, you have my word." Verse 22, "And David swore unto Saul," I love this, "and Saul went home." Alive. In peace. In quietness. Saul went home. And so will all of God's people. One of these days, real soon, we're all going to get to go home. We're all on our way there right now. Verse 22, "David swore unto Saul, and Saul went home, but David and his men got them up unto the hold," the rock, the cliff of the rock. That's where we will find our Savior and find our salvation, in the cliff of the rock. May we find it. May God reveal to us what that picture is right there. May God reveal mercy and grace in a covenant from the King. All right, let's all stand together.